Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganges. So we'll begin with text number 15, and this is prose. So I'll recite the Sanskrit. Ilavrite tu Bhagavan bhava eka heva puman nayanyas tatra paro nirvishati bhavanyaha shapa nimita gyoyat pravikshata stri bhavastat paschad vikvakshami. Shrikadev Goswami said, in the tract of land known as Ilavrita Varsh, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. I shall explain this later in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Text number 16. And we can recite the word for word together. Bhavane Natae, by the company of Bhavane, Strigana, of females, Arbuda Sahasrai, by 10 billion. 10 billion. Avarujamanaha, always being served. Bhagavata Chatumurtehe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded in four. Mahapurushasya, of the Supreme Person. Turiyam, the fourth expansion. Tamasim, related to the mode of ignorance. Murtim, the form. Prakritim, as the source. Atmanaha, of himself, Lord Shiva. Sankarshan, Samgyam, known as Sankarshan. Atma, Samadhi, Rupena, by meditating upon him in a trance. Sanidhapya, bringing him near. Etat, this. Abhigrinan, clearly chanting. Bhavaha, Lord Shiva. Upadhavati, worships. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Ilavrita Varsh, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga, who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental. But because his activities of destruction in the material world are in a mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarshan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. Purport. Sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. This verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon Lord Sankarshan in trance. Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world, Lord Vishnu maintains it, and Lord Shiva destroys it. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity Sankarshan are technically called Tamasi. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamoguna. Since both Lord Shiva and Sankarshan are always enlightened and situated in the transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But because their activities involve them with the mode of ignorance, they are sometimes called tamasi. That's in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshulum Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kapa tribhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. In Ilavrita Varsh, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudev, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental, but because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarshan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. And then the mantras are given in the next few verses till the end of the chapter. So here we can understand the potency of Lord Shiva. And sometimes the challenge is there, who is more important? Because if somebody can create something, and then somebody else can come along and smash that thing, who's more powerful? And then, of course, if something is created, we have to maintain it. So we understand that maintenance is in the mode of goodness. It's in the mode of goodness. To keep something well maintained, to keep it clean, to keep it functioning nicely. This is in the mode of goodness. And we understand that actually this is the most difficult, to keep things maintained to their proper standard, as we all know, keeping our existence clean, free from clutter. There are these people that are called hoarders, and every little thing they get, they hang on to it. They get, somehow they maintain some attachment to it. And in this material world, attachment is so deep-seated. Attachment is practically there automatically, as soon as we see something. Just like last night at my Sunday feast table, so many children come usually up to the table, and they want to ask me about each book on the table and how much it is. They go down the line. How much is this one? Oh, what's this one all about? Oh, how much is this one? What's this one about? Like that. They go to each table. And then the parents come along and they say, okay, come on, let's go. No, I don't want to go. I want this book. Last night, one boy, I want this book. But you have so many books. No, but I want this one. Immediately the attachment is there, and then the parents tell them. Then the parents ask me, oh, how much is this book? Oh, this book is such and such a price. Oh, do you have that much little such and such? Do you have that much money? I'll say, no, but you have it. Sometimes they reach into the parents' pockets. You have it, see? So, unfortunately, last night the boy's father didn't buy him the book, and the boy knew how to get to us, because when the children cry, that tweaks the parents' hearts, you know. So the boy's throwing a tantrum, laying down on the sidewalk, kicking his feet. I wanted that book. You didn't give me that book. I want that book. But anyway, that attachment is very deep-rooted there within the heart. Very deep-rooted within the heart. And the nature of attachments is that as soon as we focus on something, Jayatova Shayapumsam, as soon as we think of something, immediately the attachments come, are there. We're not thinking of glubjamins, but the Mahatray comes and there's so many glubjamins. Oh, glubjamins, yes. It's been so long since I had a glubjamin. Immediately the attachment is there. Let me just honor one or two or even three of those glubjamins. So here we have Lord Shiva. He's meditating. And then the question may be by so many, what is he meditating upon? Prabhupada begins this verse by saying, sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. I was trying to remember, I think most of the pictures that I see of Lord Shiva, he's engaged in meditation with his eyes half closed. Prabhupada explains that because the other tendency we have is to fall asleep. Just like Prabhupada explained that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure for insomnia. As soon as we sit down to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately we can doze off. So Lord Shiva, he's sitting with his eyes only half closed. And the question is, what is he meditating upon? Because Lord Shiva is extremely opulent. Extremely opulent. The opulence of Lord Shiva, we cannot even fathom. Practically speaking, he and Vishnu are non-different. Just as milk is non-different than yogurt, is the example given in the Brahma Samhita. What's the difference between yogurt and milk? You make yogurt from milk. That's the only difference. So Krishna explains that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate. He's the existence. He's the cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. Krishna is the cause of all existence. Eche Chamsa Kalapumsam Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. From Krishna comes all the other incarnations. So, therefore, we have to give this respect to Lord Shiva. So Prabhupada qualifies that just because he's in charge of the mode of ignorance does not mean that he's affected by the mode of ignorance. We have to be very careful. And Lord Shiva, just to bewilder the atheistic class, so Lord Shiva keeps himself in a very unclean state. He smears upon himself crematorium ashes and wears a necklace of skulls. But Lord Shiva does have the benediction, as we will hear, that he catches the Ganga, or as Prabhupada used the English word of Ganges. He catches the Ganges on his head. And therefore, when you see a picture of Lord Shiva, you usually see a picture of the Ganges on his head. So Lord Shiva, he's meditating upon Sankarshan. As we understand that meditation. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the Yuga Dharma. However, as pointed out by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Dharma for this age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very few people can have this realization. Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kashtam me priya kritamam. How's it go? Kashtam me veti tatvataha. Very few can know this in truth. Manushanam sahasreshu. I know I tried to distribute Bhagavad Gita's on the Harinam. It's very, very difficult to get even one person interested. It's like the Bhagavad Gita explains, I believe it's in the second chapter, that even though so many people hear about the soul, they still find it very difficult to understand the soul. And some cannot understand it at all. Not possible. So for us to be able to act on this platform of the soul is Krishna's special mercy. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Medasaha means intelligence, and Sumedasaha means extraordinary intelligent. Extraordinarily intelligent. So those that can accept this Sankirtan movement, they are extraordinarily intelligent. I was just hearing a lecture from Srila Prabhupada about how to push on this Krishna consciousness movement takes extreme intelligence. It's no ordinary intelligence. How do we push on this movement? In the early days, there was one leader. He was saying only the ladies should go out and in public and distribute books and approach people. Because in Kali Yuga, ladies have a special position in terms of the material energy of attracting men. Men are totally captivated. And it doesn't stop. Everyone knows my father left his body. So I'm cleaning out his home and I stumble upon pictures of ladies there in his desk. And what else do the materialists have to focus on? That's about 90% of their focus. So one leader approached Srila Prabhupada that only the ladies should distribute books and approach the public like that. And Prabhupada was saying, no, this is not our formula. But we see in Kali Yuga there will mostly be ladies in charge. Prabhupada pointed that out, and how this is one symptom. This is one symptom of the Kali Yuga. But in general, of course, Prabhupada pointed out, in terms of Krishna consciousness, even though we recognize that there are different duties, the ladies have a special duty. It is the lady that gets pregnant, not the man, Prabhupada pointed out. We try to see everyone on the platform of spirit soul. They are the soul, not the body. So therefore, the ladies can have the equal position in terms of that, in terms of preaching, in terms of becoming Brahmani, in terms of the worship, in terms of the cooking, etc. Just like we have lady pujaris, we have men pujaris, we have lady preachers, we have men preachers. So for Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, there is no boundary. There is no boundary. So Prabhupada was explaining in this lecture that, yes, it takes someone with very keen intelligence to push on this Sankirtan movement. It is not any ordinary person that will engage in the Sankirtan. Prabhupada was saying the Shudras cannot push on the Sankirtan movement. Not possible for the Shudras to have that intelligence. Even though we're all born Shudras, somehow the devotees are getting some special mercy. Similarly, the Vaishyas, Prabhupada explained, cannot push on the Sankirtan movement. Cannot push on the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But we see, Prabhupada said, we see that some of the kings, they were able to push on. However, even they lost the science in due course of time. Imam Vijayashayal Vidu. Sa Kalena Mahata Yoga Nasha Parantapa. That in course of time, the parampara, evam parampara praptam, the parampara was lost by these saintly kings. So Prabhupada said, if there's a chance of pushing on this movement, it's amongst the brahmanas and amongst some of the rajarshis, some of these saintly kings. Combination. Then there's a possibility. But we have to very strictly follow Lord Chaitanya's recommendation to push on this Hare Krishna movement. People are very attracted. People are very attracted. What can they criticize? We understand that the materialists, they try to criticize this movement. But what do they criticize? Maybe they criticize how we dress, how we look like in terms of the material world. Oh, you wear sheets, for instance. Or, you know, you cut your hair and you leave. They laugh at the shikha. We leave a shikha. They laugh at that. They laugh at that. But there's no part of the philosophy that they can laugh at. There's no part of the philosophy that they can defeat. There's no part of the philosophy that they can criticize. They may say, well, I can't accept this. For instance, we say that you have to give up meat eating. For instance, you have to give up meat eating. Some may say, well, I cannot accept that. Cannot accept that. So, of course, we can defeat them very easily. We can defeat them very easily. It's such bad karma. And when we show them the picture of the bad karma in the Bhagavad Gita, they always accept, yes, it is a horrible thing. And most say, if I had to kill the animal, I would not kill the animal. Most people say that. That I speak to anyway. Probably 95% of the people say, I would not kill the animal, etc. And then when they hear how much water it takes, etc., then they're astonished. I didn't know it took so much water to produce me. And the other principles that we follow, no illicit sex, no gambling. It's easy for them to accept no gambling, no intoxication. Yes, gambling is bad. Yes, intoxication is bad. Of course, they find it very difficult to follow even those principles. But the point is that we can point out to them how these principles of bad karma or irreligious religion, they produce the effects of lack of mercy, lack of truthfulness, lack of austerity, lack of cleanliness. And these are the real godly qualities. We can show them how these principles are being devastated in this day and age. And most everyone accepts that the world is becoming less and less godly. And most people accept that these acts of nature are in terms of punishment. We ask them about the volcano. Probably, hopefully all the devotees know that there's this volcano that's going off in Iceland and it's paralyzing Europe. Europe is ready to declare a state of emergency because of it. Just because the planes cannot fly. This one thing is devastating the world economy. Planes cannot fly. They're economy is losing billions of dollars. I've heard the figure of $200 billion every day. I'm not sure. I haven't read that, if that's an actual statistic, but few people have told me that. The economy is losing $200 billion. Simply one simple act of nature. We can see how powerful nature is. And will this be the calamity that pushes the world out of balance? Who knows? It may be. It's explained that 100 years ago, this volcano erupted for 2 years. Can you imagine for 2 years? Right now, the British have declared a state of emergency. They're bringing their naval fleet to move the people. The people are in total disgust, total anger that they're stranded. The devotees are telling me people right here in LAX are sleeping in an airport. They have no place to go. They have nothing to eat. They're stranded. They're out of money, etc. They don't know how to deal with this calamity. So just by one calamity, we see how powerful Lord Shiva is. Just one small part of Krishna's energy. Who would think that a volcano could cause such disruption in the world situation? And who knows What else? What other calamity? As we've seen, earthquakes, so many earthquakes. So Lord Shiva has this power of devastation. We understand the is being pointed out here. Lord Shiva, he has this these devastating energies, and we cannot even imagine, you know, the extent of these energies. When I visited, as they say in America, two things bring the families, unite the families: funerals and weddings. So for the funeral, I was seeing relatives I hadn't seen for 40 years. So I said, oh, you have a totally different body. You have reincarnated. I was trying to explain to them a little philosophically that the last time I saw you was 40 years ago, and they were accepting, yeah, the last time we saw each other was 4. I said, I don't even recognize you as the same person. I don't even recognize you. I'm accepting that you're that person. So I said, similarly, look, my father's lying here. And he once had a baby's body. Small baby's body. We all had a small baby's body. I said, then he had a teenage body. He had a youthful body. He had a middle-age body, which I saw, knew him, began remembering him when he was approaching middle age, etc. And now he has, this body is lying here. But where is he? He's passed away, but where is he? Where is that body? Where is that living entity that was in the body? He's gone. He's gone. Proof of the soul. So there's a story about Lord Shiva, how one time a beggar approached Lord Shiva for some charity. And Lord Shiva was not inclined, because Lord Shiva knows that he's approached for so many nonsense things. So many nonsense things. People are torn by their, as we said, by their attachments. Just the other day in the newspaper, it was saying ingredients you should avoid in processed foods. We're torn by our attachment to want to satisfy our taste buds. It's saying here artificial colors, and they're made from coal tar derivatives to enhance color. They're made from coal tar, most colors that you see in foods. They're linked to allergy, fatigue, asthma, skin rashes, hyperactivity, and headaches. Does anyone ever experience any of these symptoms? If you don't, you will. I know in my 40s, I had no idea I had allergies. I took a blood test. Ooh, your allergies. Skyrocketing. Artificial colors in foods. The next one, artificial flavorings. They're made from cheap chemical mixtures. It says here. This is on the front page of the Los Angeles Times. They're also linked to allergies. Dermatitis. How do you pronounce this? Eczema. Hyperactivity. Asthma. They can affect your enzymes, your RNA, and your thyroid. Now, none of us have experience with our thyroid, but if you have a thyroid disorder, believe me, it's a major imbalance in your life. Artificial sweeteners. They have been linked to cancer. Dizziness, hallucination, and headaches. Benzoate preservatives. These things are, in, practically speaking, every processed food. Practically speaking, they're linked to hyperactivity. I don't even know what this one, angioedema. I think it's connected with the heart. Some disorder of the heart. Again, asthma, rhinitis, dermatitis, tumors. I don't even know the last one. Uticaria. I don't know what that can. And also, these preservatives affect your estrogen balance, which I think is linked to cancers. And then so many other things here. So many. Just because we're attached to our taste buds, we want to buy. It's an easy It's a quick fix. Why should I make chapatis? Why should I make something? I just go buy it over at Trader Joe's is right there. Rainbow Acres. Just buy something. It's a quick, easy fix. But they have to put these ingredients in it in order to sell. Otherwise, it doesn't sell. Won't sell. If you get a package of something that's stale and rotten, has to have preservatives. Has to have it. Anything that's already put together has to have. So we're so attached to our taste buds for some easy fix, but it's not an easy fix. It's devastating our existence. We're talking about the mode of ignorance here. Lord Shiva's in control. What could be more in the mode of ignorance than foods that cause you to die when you eat them? These are simply recipes for disaster. They're not in the mode of goodness. All the foods that we offer to Krishna should be at least in the mode of goodness. Of course, once they become prasadam, they're transcendental. So anyway, Lord Shiva, he's approached by so many personalities for so many different reasons. As we know, Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And then who was that demon that wanted to touch people's heads? Vrikasura? Or Vritasura? There's Vrikasura and Vritasura. So Vritasura. And who did Vritasura want to try the benediction on? He said, Lord Shiva, let me just see if I touch your head, if it really works. And who saved Lord Shiva was, of course, Lord Vishnu came in disguise. So Lord Shiva's approached. So one time Lord Shiva was approached by a beggar. And so the beggar, Lord Shiva was reluctant. He's very reluctant. But just to relieve himself of being of the disturbances, so he gave the, and of course at the urging of Parvati also. Parvati said, oh, Lord Shiva, you're so powerful. You can at least give him something, some benediction. So Lord Shiva said, okay, here. Gave him a watermelon. Parvati was upset. Lord Shiva, you gave him a watermelon? So Lord Shiva said, just watch him. He won't know what to do with this watermelon. So lo and behold, the beggar, he went off with the watermelon thinking, what am I going to do with this watermelon? Maybe I can sell it for a little intoxication. So lo and behold, the beggar, he offered the watermelon. Can you give me something I want to, just like we see the people down in Venice Beach. I'm not going to, they have the sign. I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, I want to get drunk. Please give me some money. So many people down there with their signs. Help me with some money. I want to buy some pot. I want to buy some, alcohol, whatever. I want to get intoxicated. So the beggar, he took the watermelon and sold it for whatever few pennies that he could get for it so that he could buy some intoxication. So Lord Shiva showed Parvati in this way, just see. But the person that purchased the watermelon broke it open, and what was inside? It was filled with jewels. Filled with jewels. So opulent, such opulent jewels, you can't even find them in this material world. Could have made that beggar the most wealthy person in the material world. And he sold it for a few pennies, you see. So similarly, we should not, in our consciousness, we should not trade our Krishna consciousness for some petty benediction. Well, I just want this. I just want this thing. But it's all gone in a flash. My father's mantra before he left his body, where did the time go? Remember we used to do this. Remember we used to do that. Remember? Yeah. Well, where did that time go? Where is that time going? Now it's just a memory. It's just a memory. All of us in this room, we may be, some of the devotees may be in their 20s, some in their 30s, some in their 40s, some in their 50s, even some in their 60s, 70s, or maybe even close to 80. So everyone has the exact same experience. Yeah, I'm 20 years old, but that 20 years went just like that. Went just like that. And you speak to the person in his 50s. Yes, that time went just like that. Went just like that. And you speak to the person in his 80s. Yeah, that time went just like that. It's gone. So the best value that we can get out of the use of our time, which will be to our eternal benefit. Everything else, my father was so attached to all the different things that he had in his home. So attached he couldn't throw anything away. The house was so cluttered. Practically speaking, you couldn't walk. We got a 40-foot bin and we filled it up in 2 days. I'm still recovering from that. We filled up a 40-foot bin in 2 days of just what we consider to be, I hate to say it, I hope I don't offend my father, but we just consider it junk. Just junk. Somebody else's prized possession, we consider the junk we were just throwing. And still the house is sitting there right now totally full. So I have to go back and take care of it. So we should try to focus and become totally attached to our service to Krishna, to our chanting as Lord Shiva. He's meditating on Lord Sankarshan, sitting in trance day after day, year after year, for eternality. So similarly, we should also focus on our chanting, on our service to our spiritual master, to Krishna. And this will give us our real opulence, our real, if we want to make our life really credible, then we should hang on somehow or other, beg for Krishna's mercy, somehow or other, embrace this devotional service, embrace this, embrace the chanting, and embrace the example of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is so powerful. So we can stop there. Are there any questions or comments on this? Lord Shiva's greatness is greatly misunderstood. So many people worship Lord Shiva as the Supreme Personality. We see that. You meet most people in India. Oh, yes, I worship Lord Shiva. But he's engaged in bhakti yoga. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param. Lord Shiva is telling us to worship Lord Vishnu. So the opulence of Lord Shiva is greatly misunderstood. And we can understand it here in the page of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the prayers that he's going to offer. Okay, any questions, comments, corrections? All right, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.